as we compare the story of Noach, of Noah, to another biblical tale, namely that of Jonah, Rabbi Lamb points out that there are some obvious common denominators. Namely, both of them, namely the story of Noach and that of Jonah, played out in water. The first, Noach, is the deluge. The whole world is destroyed and encompassed by an enormous flood, a marble. And Jonah, of course, is in a boat and is thrown in and swallowed by an enormous fish. But they have different endings. In the story of the marble, of course, the world comes to an end, except for Noah and his family. As opposed to Jonah, he is able to get the people of Nineveh to repent. Even the kings repents, and they're saved from the prophesied destruction that awaited them. Rabbi Lamb points out, what is the difference between the two? Why does one have a happy ending, in a sense, namely in the story of Jonah, as opposed to the cataclysmic ending in the story of Noah? And he says it revolves around one word which you find in common in both. That word, which of course has a very contemporary ring to us today, is Chamas. By Noah it says, Ki malaha aretz Chamas. And in Jonah, when he tells the people to repent, it's min ha-chamas asher bekapchem, the chamas, the violence or robbery that is in your hands. And Rabbi Lamb suggests that the difference between these two chamas is that the chamas in Bereshis is speaking about wanton, vengeful thievery and violence, as opposed to the chamas that was represented by Nineveh. It's the chamas asher bekapchem. It's what's in your hand. It's a sinful but unfortunately natural reaction. People want what others have, and they steal it. Of course, sinful, but the one in Noach is one of not for your own purpose. Chazal say that in the Dor HaMabel they were punished for stealing less than a shovel puta. It was inconsequential. It was just pure meanness, taking even if it wasn't for their benefit. That kind of chamas, that kind of oshek, there's no repentance for, as opposed to the possibility of repentance in the story of Jonah in Nineveh. It was, of course, sinful, but it was something that it was possible to redeem themselves from. And nowadays, in our contemporary context, as we're living through now, we know the first Hamas. Hamas, which the evil that it represents, just to inflict damage and pain and hurt, to take children, babies even, and mutilate them in front of their parents, that Hamas can never be redeemed. It must be completely uprooted, even if it takes a deluge to completely destroy it. And that Hamas that we see now playing out in Israel and in Gaza is something that has to be completely uprooted. You can't compromise, you can't relate to it. You simply have to destroy it.